a striking example of the grace of the Holy Spirit in this account of what happened at Ephesus when Paul went over there. There were some very devout people there, disciples, Luke calls them. He says one thing to them: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And they say, we didn't know there is a Holy Spirit. Now, this is the same criterion that Paul invokes in the letter to the Galatians, when he's concerned about people trying to teach them that to really be part of God's people, they have to keep the whole Mosaic law. Do the works of the law. And he says to them, if you remember there in chapter 3, he says, tell me, did you receive the Holy Spirit through works of the law or by believing what you heard? Well, unfortunately today in most Christian churches, Catholic or Protestant, except for the evangelicals, maybe certainly the Pentecostals, and a couple of Catholics, that response would be, Paul, having the Holy Spirit is a very mystical thing. I mean, how can you, look it up in the baptismal records. You'll see I'm baptized. And Paul would say, that's not it, friend. You've got to show some signs of life. This is what happened here, right? They were devout and they were doing well, but they never heard of the Holy Spirit. So when they heard this, that they were to believe in Jesus, and I think Luke is giving us, this wasn't the whole conversation. You've got to believe in Jesus. Okay, we believe in Jesus. I mean, there was some catechesis going on there. And then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized into the reality of Jesus, right? And then when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, they were about 12 men. Now they're baptized in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that unless you pray in tongues, you're not baptized in the Spirit. But it does mean that if the fullness of all that God has given you in baptism is alive in you, there's going to be some sign of it. It can be a heroic care for the poor. It can be a deep grace of intercession. There's got to be something. The Holy Spirit, after all, the Holy Spirit is God. And he comes to bring us to life. And if there's no life, well, I think you better try again. And the argument there in the letter to the Galatians is, you know that you received the Holy Spirit. It's not a guess, it's not an inference. You know you received the Holy Spirit. How? And he argues about the how to show them that is by believing in Jesus and giving your life to him that the Holy Spirit, who's already moving you to do that, comes to you. But there's got to be some evidence. Now, in our day and age, we have lots of good people who are doing all that they know how to do. But the church is not very vibrant. Why? Because the Word of God has not penetrated and brought forth that disposition by which people yield to the Holy Spirit and show it. Somehow, they show it. And you know what that means. You've met people. They may not all pray in tongues, but you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in them, right? It's not a guess. You know it. Can you imagine if the whole Catholic Church in the United States of America started to live like that, can you imagine how many million souls would be saved from the life of folly, cruelty, and murder? Million babies a year. It's important, this renewal. St. Thomas has a marvelous passage. I can't give it to you word for word. It's in commentary on Ephesians, you know, the talk about the spiritual battle there in chapter 6. And he says, the way to drive out Satan from a group is to preach. To preach the truth. And that will drive out evil. That will help people. Preach the truth. You understand? It's that important. When Jesus started to preach in the synagogue at Capernaum, the demoniac screamed. He could listen to whatever these other guys were saying. Didn't have much problem. But when Jesus started to preach, that demon screamed because the truth was being preached. Do you understand now how important it is? And if you look back at the mess we've had in biblical studies, so that most priests and ministers can't preach. They weren't taught how to sit with the Word of God until it changes you and then preach. And that's why we have to have such a time of helping people who are called to preach, really preach. You remember how it was? You remember how Billy Graham could fill a football stadium? People were that hungry. And you can't say that's all, you know, emotion. He wasn't a very emotional preacher, actually. The truth about who Jesus really is. Not only that he's the eternal divine Son of God, but that he's loving and merciful and powerful and wants to save. Preach it. That's what Paul did, right? He preached it. And this is what happens here, you see. I'm telling you ahead of time, Jesus says, that you're going to have problems. If you're preaching my truth, you're going to have problems. I'm telling you now so that when it happens, you don't get frightened. It's not out of my control. I somehow lost the handle, and so there's persecution. No. Everything is under my divine authority. Everything. If this happens to you, it's because I'm letting it happen for a greater reason. Interesting Acts were just following along in sequence. And we're here in this Ephesians incident. The Gospels are picked for us, more or less. Soon we'll start Jesus' prayer for unity. Because one of the signs of the Holy Spirit is what? Unity. Unity. Just walk into a really fervent Catholic family and there's unity. They're human. I was in a home a few months ago, 6 kids. The oldest is high school. So. And they're peaceful. They're doing well. During the time I was there, there were like 3 flashpoints, you know, like somebody took somebody else's toy or somebody did, you know. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And there's nothing. Peace. I watched that. I said, this is a class performance. Even these kids are not upset and jealous. And Mommy, Joey took my toy. Joey, give him back his toy. Give it back. That's that. And I sat there saying, this is quite amazing. I wasn't trying to find fault, but instinctively, this happened, that happened, and I'm waiting for, boom, explosion, crying, somebody, mommy having to console somebody or something, and nothing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit.